And of course, it was known as the Brass House. So, could you give me an idea of what the interior looked like?
It was just brass everywhere. As you walked in that door, there was counter, I suppose it looked like, and on that, I think I told you, there was a milk churn in brass, 3-4 foot tall on top of there, and just brass all over that top piece. And then all the way down the wall, there was a ledge above where people sat, and there was brass all the way along there. Then, of course, the fire with the shelves, so there was brass around the fire, brass on the shelves, brass in the window towards the backyard. There was just brass everywhere, everywhere. He had unbelievable. He said he had 1,000. I read this and it said it was 600, but who knows? I don't suppose anybody ever counted it, really. He just had this urge to collect things. I can remember a man called Frank Ford, don't ask me why, but he was a bookmaker, and he came every day, and Samu came every day, and Alan Price, who came every day, who was a bank manager. You know, there's people, and they came every day, every single day. And in the corner, near the fire, in those days again, on the hill, Swain Street Bridge, Hillcrest Hospital, and we got old Teddy, who came from the workhouse and came every day, sat in the corner next to the fire, kept him warm, you see, and he just relied on other people buying him a drink, which they did, because he was there every day, and my father eventually allowed him to sleep there in the afternoon, so he didn't have to go home and walk home. So a big variety of people. Lots of lock-ins. 10 o'clock at night, we started. And they were all the people who were working those hours.
Right.
Yeah, so we had the staff from the Grand, staff from, well, I don't mean all of them, some. The orchestra from the opera house, they used to come because they'd finished at that time. And the local policeman on his beat used to knock the door and come and join us.